Pat Henkin, one of our favorites. Always a pleasure to talk to him, especially during spring training. Pat Henkin joining Stephen Brunt and myself in our spacious booth. How are you, Mr. Henkin?
I'm doing well. How
Happy
are you?
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, thank you. Same, same.
None of us are wearing green.
You taking the bus to Kissimmee today, or is that...
No, sir. Staying here. Got the Canadian game.
Got to do some scouting.
Got to do some scouting. That's good.
I just wanted to start generally. Your role with the organization is a little different this year than it's been in the past. Can you maybe just give us a bit of an update on that?
Sure. You know, my role evolved with Alex. I ended up going out and seeing 8 amateur players for the draft last year and the year before. I enjoyed that. And then when the new regime took over, I got a call in the offseason about I'm going to see all 4 season full affiliates once. I'm going to come down to Florida for the mini camp after the draft. They told me 3 weeks in spring training and every other homestand in Toronto. So I'm going to be traveling around, seeing the whole organization. I'm looking forward to it.
So in that context, Pat, what are you looking for? What are you looking at? You know, what are kind of information are you providing to
right.
the administration?
Well, I'm actually going to have dinner with Charlie Wilson, the farm director. We're going to go with more detail on what I'm going to do when I rove. But I know I'll be in uniform. I may have a few target players to address, whether it's taking them out to lunch or going out after the game for a beer or something, just so we can get to know each other and try to get in each other's heads a little bit.
Obviously, much of the discussion around camp this year has focused on the battle for the 5th starter spot. We saw Drew Hutchison pitch against the New York Yankees last night. Gave up a 2-run home run. Vintage Drew Hutchison, some strikeouts, got in trouble. He's one of the candidates, Jesse Chavez, Gavin Floyd, Aaron Sanchez, but I think most of us, Pat, kind of figure that it's going to come down to Gavin Floyd and Aaron Sanchez. And when you talk about Aaron Sanchez and the possibility he might end up in the bullpen, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who aren't involved in player development, myself included, who worry about stuff like that. You know, is it a good thing for a guy that young to be moved in and out of the bullpen, things of that nature? Where do you stand in that? Is that something that we just make too big a deal of?
Well, I remember when I played with Kelvin Escobar, you know, we were making him the closer, then he was starting, and I remember him telling me in the outfield that it was getting frustrating. So I don't think I'm a huge proponent of that. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, I think breaking into the bullpen is a good call. I think Sanchez proved that he's a dominant one-inning pitcher. I actually think prior to his injury, he was really starting to figure it out in the rotation. So, you know, I think it's a great luxury for the organization to have 4 names like that fighting for one spot. And, you know, unfortunately, the game has options, and we all know what that is, and it's kind of a bummer for Hutch. I mean, having an option could hurt him, I mean, mm-hmm. just to provide more depth. So we'll just have to see how the ball rolls here at the end.
You know, we talk a lot about managing innings for young pitchers now, more than I think we ever have. You know, so for a guy like Sanchez, if you put him in the rotation right now, you're expecting that he's going to be able to throw 140, 150, 160 innings anyway for you. You know, do you think that the approach of kind of maybe being able to manage those innings with him in the bullpen is the way to go with a younger pitcher, or are you okay throwing guys into the deep end, even though I don't think he's ever thrown 100 innings in a season?
I think he came close to 100 innings
close.
Last year,
yeah.
But no, I hear you. I know there's that threshold where you don't want to exceed 30% mm-hmm. with the innings,
yeah.
But for me, I just think Sanchez is the type of guy he's a different guy right now than he was 2-3 years ago. You know, he's gained some weight, he's gained some strength, he looks a lot better, his legs and butt are bigger, and I just think with his fastball command and the sinking movement that he has, I mean, he could be like a Scott Erickson type guy for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see, if he does break camp in the rotation, it wouldn't surprise me to see him as one of our best pitchers in the rotation by May. You know, and I don't know what they're going to do. I'm here. I'm helping out Pete and Dane. But it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do. I'll tell you that.
What has the added weight done for him?
Oh, I think it's just strength. You know, he was a young kid, and we drafted him out of high school, and he's starting to put on that man weight. It just makes a big difference when you have that core and that base to withhold all the stress on your arm. So, like I said, again, I think it's going to really come down to the front office, Gibby, Pete, and Dane making a decision. Is our staff better with him in the bullpen? I could see that argument. But, man, 180 innings with Sanchez on the mound, whew, you know, he could really be dominating.
How about Gavin Floyd? Because, you know, really interesting question. You know, we were talking off air about it a little bit, Pat. But if he's the guy he once was, then there's no question where you want him. He has looked very good this spring. Velocity looks fine. He looks comfortable, you know, he looked pretty good when he came back with Cleveland for those, you know, very limited appearances last year. But it's a bit of a roll of the dice, given his history, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the last 3 years have been really injury prone. So I would say that again, it's going to come down to the end. I really don't know where the front office is on this decision. I know that Floyd, any pitcher that tells you they can't pitch out of the pen, I'm not buying it. I don't buy that. I did both, and I've talked to many guys that have done both. It's a mental state of mind. You have to be ready. And if you can help our team in the bullpen, your choices are you want to go to the bullpen or you go to Buffalo. So for me, I think that if whoever ends up in the bullpen needs to make the adjustment and compete.
Is it too early to give up on Drew Hutchison?
No, no. Drew's a good pitcher. He won 13 games last year. His splits were crazy, you know, but I think that Drew is a guy that I know we talked with Russell and Pete did with Russell about front door and his breaking ball, and I guess it went really well yesterday. He was throwing it at the front hip of the righties. And Russell was telling me that, you know, when he throws it glove side, it has a little hump to it, but when he throws it on the arm side, it stays like his fastball all the way to the end. So we talked about it, and with Pete and Dana and myself, we were like, why can't he front hip guys if he feels better with his breaking ball on that side? Here's the problem with front hipping the ball. A veteran hitter will sit on a 1-0 breaking ball, and when you throw that ball inside, it's open up the hips, and it's usually a bullet down a left field line, sometimes a home run. And I remember Molitor telling me that when I was playing with Molitor. Make sure when you throw your curveball, don't leave it middle in to a veteran hitter, because those veteran hitters are seeking that hanging breaking ball.
Right.
What do you – you know, you mentioned the crazy splits, which is one of the puzzles about Hutch. What, do you have a theory? Do you have a theory? If you do, you might want to bottle it and sell it.
Yeah, if I had a theory, I would have told him in April last year. Right? I don't have a theory. I think it's coincidental. I think he started maybe getting his head a little bit. Wasn't the year before the opposite?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this year he's putting it together. They're both going to be good, home and away.
It is going to be. I guess the other issue for him, you mentioned the fact he has options, so that does give them they can send him down, but. To build faith in an organization after a year when it's been hard to know what guy was going to show up when he came out of the after he warmed up before a game, it's hard to build faith in spring training, isn't it? Because people only take you only take Grapefruit League results seriously to a point.
Absolutely. I remember Jimmy Key told me your stats aren't on the back of your bubblegum card, and you're right. I mean, you end up facing the A lineup maybe the first three innings, you know, especially the first half of spring training. So sometimes you come in and pitch the middle part of the game, you're facing maybe their AAA hitters, and I'm with you. It's really hard to gauge. You really have to break down the pitcher, see how he's executing, look at soft contact versus hard contact, and really try to evaluate that way versus just the overall stats.
In conversation with Pat Henkin and the Jeff Blair Show, I had a had an interesting conversation with Randy Choate a couple of days ago, and we were just talking about how important middle relief has become now in the game. It's always been important, but I think in the past, Pat, there was always sort of the tendency, okay, well, this guy, we'll make him a middle reliever. But now teams are investing money in middle relievers. Houston's got like 20% of their payroll invested in setup guys and middle relievers. And teams, it seems, are starting to look for guys with different arm angles, maybe a little bit of funk in their delivery. Has that changed since, when you were in the bullpen and breaking into the game in the bullpen? Are teams becoming more and more tied to specialization roles right now in the bullpen?
I think it comes down to the analytics part of it. I mean, starting pitchers at this third time through the lineup start to struggle a little bit. Why not bring in a fresh arm that's got power stuff? Teams carry seven relievers now instead of five. I remember the year I was in spring training, we were whispering, they're going to carry six. They might carry six because somebody had no options. Somebody was out of options, so they didn't want to lose the player, and it was funny. Now we're carrying seven, sometimes eight. So, yeah, the game has evolved. It's definitely become more specialized, and I think it's important. I think it comes down to the analytic part of it.
Now, we haven't talked as much about young arms this spring as we have in recent springs here. Number one, because there aren't quite as many guys at that, near major league level right now. A lot of those guys are gone. We don't have a Castro and Osuna making a team like they did out of spring training. We had Connor Green here with the major league team, though, to start. Of the guys who are close, Pat, in this organization, who excites you in terms of the young arms that are in this organization still?
When the big league team goes on the road, I go over to the other complex in the morning and watch all the minor league pitchers. And there was a kid, you're going to love this because he's Canadian, Robson. Robson really looked good the other day. I mean, the ball was jumping out of his hand. He was spinning the ball. It looked like major league stuff to me, I could tell you that. Obviously, Connor Green's got a great arm. It's just a matter of refining their skills, working on their holding on the runners and stuff like that. Even a guy like Ryan Tepera, who I know he was a starting pitcher, who I think could start right now. I really do if you build him up. He was talking to me about holding runners on. He's like, the guys in the big leagues are taking advantage of my delivery. And we talked about how you got to practice on flat ground because you're not going to practice on the mound.
Right.
That's a game. You need to compete. So, it's all these little things that big league players can take advantage of. I think that's what really needs to be fine-tuned for some of the pitchers.
What does Marcus Stroman do this year to take – I was going to say to take the next step, but, I mean, I don't know if you can necessarily say that. But, you know, I mean, this guy came back last year, surprised everybody, looked dominant at times when he came back. He's probably going to be the opening day starter for this team. What's sort of the next step for Marcus Stroman? We've seen him work in quick pitching
right.
this spring. And is it kind of some of the finer aspects of the game that has to focus on right. now?
To me, Stroh's got to be careful because – he's almost a little bit bored being good, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like to work on the quick pitch and stuff. I mean, with 27 career starts, the league already knows what you got. I get that. But don't adjust until the league makes you adjust. I remember a story in Fenway when I had Cecil in the bullpen, and he said, I think it's time for me to make an adjustment. I said, Cease, you got a 2 ERA. You had one bad game. We're going to change everything. So I think players sometimes try to make too many adjustments at times. But Stroman's got two things that are huge: confidence. And he could spin the ball, and he's a competitor, and it's just a really good combination.
So if you were giving him kind of counsel, you would say, go out there, do what you do, don't overcomplicate it. Is that fair?
That is fair, and it's like if you're going to do the quick pitch like Cueto, and you're going to hesitate on the mound like Cueto, do it in counts that won't hurt you.
Yeah.
Do it in a count that's 0-2. Use your best control pitch, which means your fastball typically. You know, don't try to quick pitch and throw a changeup or quick pitch and throw a breaking ball. Those are usually your second and third command pitches. So for me, I'm like, if you're going to do the quick pitch, let's do the fastball, maybe up and in. You know, maybe send a message, 0-2, you know, throw that neck ball. So it's funny because I think he quick pitched early in spring with a changeup and gave up a home run.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, you know, don't get caught up in throwing your third and fourth control pitch with a different delivery. It's hard enough to command it with your normal delivery. Mm-hmm.
Pat, were you ever a skeptic on Stroman in terms of starter versus reliever? You know, not a tall guy, doesn't have the downward plane, all the stuff people talked about.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody was at one point. I mean, you just don't see a lot of 5'8" starting pitchers. You know, and I saw Flash Gordon in spring training watching his son last year in spring training. We went over to look at his kid. And I remember coming back to camp and saying, he's bigger than Stroh. He's 5'10". He's a bigger guy. But Stroman, like I said, competitive, athletic, fluidity. He's really got the total package. I mean, big deal if he's 5'8". I don't really care. He spins the heck out of it.
How different are things in this organization under the new management in terms of maybe philosophy or, you know, without giving away state secrets, stuff that's been passed down to you when you go look at a guy? Is there a different evaluative process? Is there a different analytical process than under Alex?
Well, nothing for me has really changed because I'm in uniform with the Major League staff.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I'm not kind of out of touch, out of that loop right now. So for me, I would say nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm actually a bad guy to ask.
That's probably the only thing you're bad to ask about, to be quite honest. You know, one of the other guys that has kind of intrigued me this spring is Jay Happ, and the Jays gave him a multi-year contract as a free agent. We heard a lot about how, you know, the time he spent with Pittsburgh, and particularly with Ray Searidge, had kind of changed him. Have you noticed a difference in Jay, and what might that difference be?
Well, I think the big thing with Jay is we knew the character, we knew the guy, we knew the work habits, great teammate. He brings all the intangibles. I think at times he nitpicks, at least when we had him. He would nitpick around the strike zone. I really think that Ray Searidge just got him to believe in his stuff and throw more strikes. And I know the other day he pitched in the minor leagues, and I went over there the next day, and the guys were all talking about Estrada and Happ and how they just pound the zone. And we even told the minor leaguers, Estrada's throwing 88. You guys are all throwing 92. So why are you worried about your radar gun? Let's locate the ball. That's what Happ did. I think that's what he did last year, the last month, and I think he'll continue to do that.
And one of the things – sorry, Steve, but I was going to say one of the things he did say is the takeaway he got from Pittsburgh more than anything else was about pacing and maybe trying to pick up the pace of the game. But Pittsburgh's big in that. You guys are big in that. You guys are one of the fastest working staffs in baseball. I think if you look at the numbers – I mean, at one point you had R.A. and Mark Burley were two of the top three in the league. Stroh works fast when he has to as well. Is that a difference you see in Jay? Have you seen that? Have you noticed that maybe he's a little faster?
Are you talking about tempo as the delivery?
Sorry, tempo.
Or in between?
Tempo.
So just the tempo
just
of his delivery.
Tempo, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Pete had actually mentioned that to Floyd, too. You know, when you see Stroman go out there so fluid, so athletic, you just want all your pitchers to kind of adopt that.
Yeah.
And I think that some guys just get a little mechanical. Like Joe Biangini, our Rule 5 guy. He starts out throwing a little bit mechanical, but by the end of the inning, he's smoothing it out, and he's got that fluidity, I think. So I think if he can start the inning with that fluidity, it'll really help him because they're athletes in the end.
Is that just a guy relaxing on the mound? Is that part of what it is?
That's huge. You're right. New team, first big league camp, no doubt about it. There's all those factors. It's a human element that you really can't put a number on. But, yeah, no, I think even when he warms up, when he's not going in the game, he starts out a little mechanical. And I think it's just because he comes from Double-A. He may not be 100% confident in his delivery, and he's got some things that he does. But in the end, the stuff at the plate is fantastic.
Were you, Pat, surprised at what Estrada did last year? You know, because I think a lot of people were. You know, when we this time last year, we were still talking about him as a swingman, long guy who gives up a ton of home runs.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I think that it shows to me how important a catcher can be. Mm-hmm. I think it's the one position that affects half your roster. And, you know, I can think of when I played with Charlie O'Brien and had my best year, it wasn't coincidental. He did a great job of calling the game, convincing me that it was the right pitch, and also knew when to light a fire and when to pat me on the back. There were days where he made me feel like King Kong on my fifth day. Mm-hmm. And I think that Navarro and Estrada had that chemistry. Now, I remember Cito told me, don't get married to a catcher, Pat. You can't marry a catcher. Mm-hmm. You played 10 years in Toronto. I probably had 25 catchers. So Marco's going to be fine, but I think he did outdo what I anticipated, for sure.
Ben, you think Navarro was a big part of getting him over that hump, so he is going to have to marry somebody else this year, right? He's got a new relationship with Russ. It's going to be – is there a chance for a step back because of that, do you think?
I don't think so. I think that Marco's going to take what he learned from Navarro, because I remember when I had O'Brien, I'd be like, that's what you're calling? I would never throw that right here, and it would work. Next thing you know, you're in the fifth inning with no runs. So, and I think Marco, light may have gone on, just having Navarro.